Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Big Jelly, a.k.a. Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother, the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. How are you, Ben?
How's it going, Jells?
that's what they call me.
Jellifer.
No.
Jellathan.
Jellathan.
Jellathan. It sounds like gelatin, but worse.
It does. You don't want that. Jellathan. It's like diet jello.
Almost reminds me of the gelatin from Christmas Vacation where it's got like cat food in it.
Oh my gosh. That is disgusting.
It is so horrible. I know.
Like why? Why?
Why would you do that? Why would anybody?
She wrapped up the jello.
Why are we talking about it now? We shouldn't be.
We should not be.
Because we had ourselves, you and I, one heck of a productive weekend.
We sure did, man. We got stuff did.
The people who are in the pop at this point for Jay's gardening escapades are so excited the breakthrough. I mean, this is like the season opener of season 4 that they've been anxiously awaiting.
I think it's only season 3.
Season 3, like I was saying, where I mean, now you've been through year after year. You've assembled a fence. That fence has been defeated by the likes of Bazooka Joe and
whatever we named the deer.
And at last long, we have constructed you a better fence. I can't even tell you. Like, there used to be a TV show called The Weakest Link.
Yeah.
And it had this like really funny tagline where like the woman host would be like, she would go through and like ask all these questions, and then like somebody would become the weakest link, and she would go, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
And fun premise for a show, I think, because then everyone in the round had to like answer a trivia question,
something like that,
and like everyone who got it right, you got like more money in the pot. But then after each round, you had to like vote off whoever you thought was like the weakest link.
Yes.
But then like at the end, it would just come down to whoever got like the question right. So at some point, you're trying to like eliminate the best trivia person.
Right. Yes,
but then maybe you get less money. Very, very dicey.
Fun premise though. But anyway, so you and I over the weekend went into your backyard. We hooked out the old fence, which couldn't have taken more than like 30 seconds.
No, that was pretty easy. That part was easy. Taking the old fence out of the ground, not a problem.
Right. But then we had gone through and we had bought like a stack of 4x4s, which are like big pieces of lumber.
And
you purchased your very own post hole digger.
Dude, I was like, you know, it was one of those things where it's like every year. And like, I think even since we were in high school, our good friend John, I remember he had a post hole digger, and it was just
He
did.
Of course he did.
I know. And because I think he was using it for like the GMA gift exchange to dig like particularly deep, narrow holes.
Nice.
To like bury things in.
Of course. I mean, why else?
Regular John things.
Right. Why else would you buy a post hole digger?
Why else would you do it? Yeah. Or just have it, or just like, oh yeah, I have a little bit different means than you to make this more difficult than everyone else. So I will use it. Which is very much in the spirit of the GMA gift exchange. So really no harm, no foul there. But I remember he had one. And then like every year, like there has been like at least one point, I think every year I'm like, you know what would be useful to have right now is a post hole digger. But then I'll always think like, you know what? I can probably just dig the hole though. And I have a shovel.
Right.
And then I'll look at, then I'll even be at Lowe's. I'll be at the hardware store. I'll be staring at it. And I'll be like, I will walk in with the intent of buying one. And then I'll get to the aisle and be like, oh, $50. Oh man. Like, I don't know if I want to.
I mean, they almost,
how useful is it?
They almost large popcorned us with the post hole digger because they had three.
Yeah.
One was $29.99, one was $49.99, and the other was $59.99.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely one of those situations where the $29.99 one was basically garbage.
Yes.
Like we literally were like, you know, pretend post hole digging like in the aisle at Lowe's, and it felt like if you picked up like the wrong piece of like acorn, it would probably snap one.
I know. I felt like just us like yanking it apart in the store with no dirt or obstacles. Like we were just going to physically pull it apart with our hands.
I wanted to return it and we hadn't even purchased it yet.
Exactly.
You know, and it was like, yeah, no, this is not it. So then you scale up and you're like, okay, so then there's the $49.99 one. And it's like, well, this one is obviously way nicer.
Yeah, it's made of metal. It has nice handles.
Right, right, right. It's like, okay, this could work. But then it's like, well, then like for 10 more bucks, we could go up to the $59.99 one.
Right.
And then it was kind of like, but do we need it?
But do we need it?
We're not digging that many holes.
Not digging that many holes.
Five. You know? We know exactly how many we
need. How many we're going to dig. Yeah, yeah. It's not going to be that big a deal. And then, but at least, you know, and then you're like, but is it worth it? Should I just make the jump? And we did not make the jump. And it worked out okay.
It worked out just fine. Yeah. So go us.
Go us.
And screw you, large popcorn.
Yeah. we saved those $10.
Totally. Yeah, we definitely didn't incur any other additional expenses at any point in time that would have yielded a $10 additional cost.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yes. See later in this conversation.
Right.
But so then we also, gosh, we bought just the world's best metal clippers.
Oh, we did.
Yes.
Yes.
Like because we were going to do like wire cutters is what I meant to say, not metal clippers, wire clippers, which was a great call on your part. Because I was like, I have like pliers that have that little sharp spot that'll like go through the wire.
Right.
Like in my mind, I'm like, I got something. It'll work. And you're like, I think we need something else. And we went over there and my gosh, I'm glad we got them. Because they scared the crap out of me. Because anytime you like, they just cut through the metal like butter.
like literally as if you were just cutting like anything. Like,
and they
just like,
yeah. Right through. I was like, oh, that wasn't even in like the crux. That was like if I just opened it, just like hit the nibs.
Right.
You know, it was like, I don't know what force of, because they didn't look super sharp.
No, not in particular.
It just felt like this is just creative physics or something.
Right. Yes. It's using the pinching effect of two inclined planes exceptionally well.
Very well. Yes. Yeah, that was a lifesaver. We got that. We put that in our arsenal.
Right. Right. Yep. Yeah. Finger loppers.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like one of these like kids, you are not allowed to even touch these.
Don't even look at them.
Don't even think about them.
Forget that they existed.
They're not here.
Right.
And then we had to go through and buy, we brought like 6-foot fencing, metal fencing to around the perimeter, which comes in 50-foot rolls.
Yes.
Yes.
Which felt like, you know, we're like looking at the space and it's like, it's basically like a 10 by 10 square.
Right. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Basically.
Let's hope it's not like a 12 and a half by 12 and a half foot square.
Let's just hope, you know? Yeah, we'll definitely have enough.
Yeah.
We were like 3 feet short.
Yes.
Which was infuriating day two of fence construction where you're on the final wall and you're going to roll it out and suddenly you don't have enough fence.
But you know what? The thing that I'm taking solace at, Jay, in is that this fence is called deer fencing.
It is called deer fencing.
It's like, and while we were in the aisle, the other people who were looking at it were like, we can't grow anything. We saw 9 deers on our way here.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it was like exactly. You know, we were like, we're all in the same boat. Like, did we just become best friends?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we didn't get their numbers or, you know, names or anything.
No, we didn't.
We pretty much promptly walked away. Except you forgot like the one thing you had to go back for. It's true.
Which was the post hole digger.
The post hole digger. You could have left it right there in the aisle.
I know, man. They could have had it. But fortunately, we remembered that. We got all of our gear assembled there. And then you had, from back in your
grave digging days,
your pet grave digging days.
Yeah.
You just had, I don't even know what the tool would be called, but just like a 40, so I don't know, a very heavy, huge metal rod.
Yeah, it's like a 40-pound metal rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know, 5 feet tall or something like that, and it's just, it's amazing because it's using all of the 40 pounds of weight and concentrating it just like in this like fine little chisel on the bottom. And so you basically just like lift it in the air. And I mean, you don't even really have to thrust it down that hard. Just let gravity do its thing. And 40 pounds into the earth.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, you and I felt like had like the ultimate like tag team hole digging duo.
Yeah, it was very effective. Just yeah, you would take that start, get the dirt loose, and then take in the post hole digger, go to town, and we got through that part pretty quickly.
We did. Yeah, like imagine the movie Holes, except they're way smaller. Instead of like 5 feet wide and 5 feet deep, they were like 3.5 inches wide and 2 feet deep.
Yeah, there you go.
But we did it.
We did it. No problem.
Right.
Got our posts assembled, put them in the ground. For the most part, pretty much directly in line with each other.
For the most part.
As well.
Yeah. So there are tactics that we could have been employing that I think, you know, may have given us like a shade, you know, more straightliness to it.
Well, I mean, there certainly were. I feel like we were trying to do our best to like line up exactly where we needed to dig the hole. But then I think inevitably once you start moving the earth, maybe you're off by like an inch or two or something.
There are some imperfections with working in like a sloped outdoor environment.
Yes. Yes. There absolutely were. But I think we did a pretty good job getting them in the ground. Around the fence. And honestly, because of the way we did it, I think I ended up gaining like an extra like 15 square feet of garden.
Heck yeah.
So just think of all the new things I can grow.
Exactly. Got
like a whole nother row.
Right. You know? I mean, you're like right now, like I was thinking about that because I've just finished my annual reread of The Martian where, you know, he's growing potatoes in space on Mars. And it's like he would have killed for an extra 15 square foot of growing space.
I know, right?
That could have been like 4 more plants.
Right? That would have been like more life on Mars for Mark Watney.
Dude, can you believe the amount of effort and like, I mean, not that it's extraordinary expense, but some amount of expense, blood, sweat, tears at this point, I think actually, you know, in terms of growing like what is otherwise a you know, pretty standard backyard garden.
Yeah. I mean, I put in a lot of effort to it.
Right.
At this point, I feel like at this point you've put in a lot of effort to it. Like, I feel like if I come back and report that like the like rabbits ate my food, like,
oh, I'll be mad.
You'll be mad. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am officially like in it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we got on our post in the ground. We did the bottom section first. This was the easiest one by far.
Yeah.
It was on nice. All the ground was completely level. It was a straight line. Boom. We did it.
Yeah, like we stood back and I was like, we're good at this.
We did it.
I was like, yeah, this looks amazing.
This looks good. Yeah. We got our staples in there. Everything's nice and tight. It looks like a real fence.
Yeah. No, that was the other thing too, is I had my air like air compressor staple gun.
Yeah.
And it's not a tool that I get like many opportunities to use.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so fun.
Yeah.
Like I'm unironically using it like as its intended purpose right now.
Yeah.
It's working.
Really good. But then we got to the second side, which was hands down the hardest side.
Yeah.
Because it was on a hill. and let me tell you something. When you have a fence that you want to be flush with the ground and even across the top, and like you have a fence that is like just flat on both of those sides, it is like, how are you going to do this?
It's so difficult.
Yeah, like we spent so much time hemming and hawing on like, how are we going to get the fence to run like parallel with the ground? And I'm like, everyone else making gardens just has level ground. Like, they must.
That's the thing. If you watch any YouTube video, it's like, do you have deer eating your tomatoes in your backyard? Build this easy fence solution. Go to the store, buy this material, set these posts, do these things, just line them right on up, staple them to the posts, and boom, you're done.
You're done.
And it's like, but what if there's a hill? It's like, I don't know what to do if there's a hill.
Yeah. Don't put a garden there? Probably.
Don't garden on hills, obviously.
Don't garden on hills. That would probably solve it. Or they'll have any number of solutions where the actual solution was just like, there's already a giant fence around my entire yard, so I don't have to worry about things for pests because that just does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have that either.
We didn't have that luxury. No. So we had to, we were, you guys know that. You've been listening. Probably. This probably isn't your first podcast with us.
This would be such a funny place to show up. And it's like, wait, the guys from YouTube that do the fan theories talk about gardening?
Talk about gardening. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Does Harry Potter show up at some point? No, not, well, at least not yet.
Not yet. I mean, he could. Well, you know, it is us. But
if you get gnomes, goodness gracious.
Ooh, I know.
Garden gnomies.
Oh, man. But we... We spent so long trying to figure this problem, and it ended up being like, I feel like I had like a stroke of like, I think I get it. And it was like trying to remember geometry proofs from like ninth grade.
It was actually amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
right.
That's how it works.
It's going to work. It's going to work. Right, guys, this is going to work. So what we did was we went to the higher post. We put the fence there. We ran it across the side to the lower post. So it was like higher on one end, but then we ran some string from post to post to give us a straight line and then cut along the string. So the top of the fence came off, and then that top removed piece matched the bottom missing section.
It like puzzle pieced its way in. And yeah. I mean, so this is partly where like the weakest link conversation comes in, because it was like, it was really, really good, but there was like a like rabbit sized hole.
Yeah.
And it was like, no. We did all this. It looks so good.
I know.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
And yet still, it's like your like fist could like go through like the remnant. And it was like, no.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, you can do all this work, and if like rabbits can get through like one hole in the corner, it's like, it doesn't matter.
That's it.
You've lost. It's so frustrating. Stupid rabbits. Oh my gosh. But we got through that side. Then the back two sections were weird, because my existing yard fence is the perimeter on those sides. It's not open yard. But of course, I can't make that fence any taller itself. So it's just sort of there. But it ended up working out, because we could just staple the new fence to the old fence.
Heck yeah, we could.
Yeah. Which made it go significantly better. And then for some reason, the parallel side to where this was like, it felt like God was interceding here.
It did a little bit, yeah.
He was like, you guys have been working pretty hard. Let me throw you a bone of mathematical nonsense for you. Where we were like, remember yesterday when this was super hard? What if for some reason that doesn't make sense, when we line it up on the other side of the hill where we're going to have the exact same slope, it just fits for just randomly. And it just did.
It just did. I think literally like we were going to line it up, and I was like, wouldn't it be nice if just for some reason this worked? And then we were like, I
don't know why, but it's working.
I think it's working.
We're still on a hill, right? Like, yeah, we're still on a hill, but it's flat. Uh-huh.
We did not look a gift horse
We
in the
did
mouth.
Not ask any further questions. It just started stapling. And you know what? It worked.
Watch out, I got my stapler.
Look out. Someone might remember the math somewhere and change it.
Just like suddenly one of us is struck by lightning. It's come on.
Yeah. Jeez. It was like, you keep going around, and it's like, have we done it all yet? And it's like, because then we had our that was the deer fence. Right, this was like 6 feet tall. So, like, knock on wood, they can't jump over it. But of course, like we mentioned, like can the rabbits get through? The rabbits get through? And the answer is maybe. But fortunately, we bought a second, more finely lined fence that they definitely could not get through to go around the bottom perimeter.
Yes.
Yeah, it's only like 2 feet tall, but like I'm thinking the rabbits aren't like, you know, hopefully hopping through the open spaces above it.
Something tells me at this point in time, if the rabbit is able to get in, the issue is going to be that it's not going to be able to get out.
Oh yeah, I think that is going to be the problem.
We got a minnow trap situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In which case they are going to be scared to death.
Yeah. 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 I mean, well fed, but then otherwise scared to death. They won't starve.
No, they won't. Yeah. But if I discover them in there, bad news for them.
Right.
They're not going to remember where to go.
Pet store?
What? Yeah. Sure. That store,
a farm upstate.
Yeah, that's right. I know just the place.
Yeah.
And then you, like, we ran out of fencing material at one point by, like, 4 feet, which is so annoying, because then I had to go buy another 50 feet of fencing to finish, like, 4 feet.
You had to build another garden.
I know, yeah. I know. Now I'm like, well, you know what? Now I got plenty of fencing, so if we need another fence, we got it. Yeah, that was great. We got, like... And then we have like the perimeter around the bottom. I still have to actually finish off like the back two walls. But for the most part, I think we are there. I think we have a successful garden. And while I was off buying new stuff, you actually built a door for it as well.
I did.
Which came out very nicely.
I was so happy with the door. I honestly couldn't believe it. Because we're building a structure that has no like actual, you know, there are vertical supports, but there is like no, you know, horizontal supports. There's like no ceiling or anything, so it's like a strange task to like, it's like you literally like plant two posts in the ground and then build a door into those posts. And yeah, I don't know. I was like, man, this, it came out way better than I expected. I was like, this, I'm so happy with this.
I know.
But it is pretty cool because your previous door was like mesh netting that was like wrapped around like a nail that you could sort of like stretch, pull, hook on the nail, which honestly is still fairly ingenious. Like it works, but like now it's cool because there's like a little like swivel piece of wood that you can like then like open it up and it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. We made a door. I know the other thing that was frustrating was that like because we didn't like set the posts in like cement or something.
Yeah.
Because you know we're just like I don't think it needs to be that official. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a degree of temporariality of what we're doing here.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Like you know maybe we want to take these up at some point or maybe we want to make the garden bigger. Who knows? But like as a result, like you do one side and you're like stretching the fence as hard as you can. But in doing that, you might pull one of the posts like a few centimeters in one direction,
yeah,
which wouldn't be a problem until you started working on that post in the other direction. And then you might pull like a few centimeters in the other direction, at which point you'd create this big like warble in the other side you'd already finished.
I had warbles in my dream last night.
Oh man. It was just, like, yeah. I was like, no,
my,
no.
My new worst nightmare.
Yeah. But ultimately, end of the day, we got the fence up. It has a door. It has barriers. I think we are. Like it looks so good. My neighbors were like talking to me afterwards, like, "Oh, your garden looks so good." And I was like, "Oh, thank you. Nothing's getting in there." And they're like, "No, they're not. Last year, you guys were on vacation. We could just see the rabbits in there." I was like, "Oh no."
Oh man.
I was
man.
Like, "Oh." So, anyway,
you gotta get like some little like sentries or something, you know?
Like sentries.
Sentries. Actually, maybe you should buy some garden gnomes.
Oh yeah, right.
You know, I don't actually know if garden gnomes do anything, but like, you know, like a little like concrete statue guy with a little like red hat. That'd
right?
be kind of fun.
That would be kind of fun. I know now I have these big posts. I'm like, maybe I can get one of those like owl things put up there, you know?
An owl.
Make it spooky.
Yeah.
Be like, don't come near me, rabbits.
Or birds.
Or birds or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Nothing getting into this garden.
That's right. I know. Now my problem will be birds or something.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. Or lizards.
Yeah. Lizards?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Jay's like, I didn't even think about lizards.
You didn't think about lizards? Lizards no. getting gardens?
I don't think lizards would be a problem. I do feel like I've got like a weird degree of like soreness from all the work that we did this weekend.
Dude, absolutely. Because the other thing we did was you had like taken down your tree and you just had like a ton of logs in your yard that we just sort of like had to get out of there.
Yeah.
And so we were breaking stuff down, some of which was just like, let's have fun hitting stuff with an axe.
Well, I mean, there was a degree of like whimsy involved for sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, I've talked about it so much on the show. Like splitting wood is just like a you know, for me, it's kind of like, oh, this is such hard work, but also I'm having so much fun.
It's very satisfying.
It is. Yes. It is very satisfying. And so I had this like one big log, and I mean, it was like, part of me was almost just like, Jay, take some swings at it. Like, let's just see if we can break it open. And we couldn't.
We could not.
Like,
yeah.
We both wailed on it. Like I don't even know how many times.
Oh, yeah.
You made the biggest like dents and cracks and stuff. But I mean, it never was like even about to let go.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was not. Yeah. Although we wailed on it pretty hard. So
we'll give it like a year, back to it. Yeah.
We'll go back.
Maybe once it's dried out a little bit.
Yeah. We're doing that. We're chainsawing some stuff. And like, I think what happened to me when I was running your chainsaw, I was going through some like big stump of a log and I have not used like a chainsaw in a very long time. And like my thumb meat, you know, like that section of my palm, it, like that vibration, or maybe I was just like holding really hard or something, but like even right now it is like, so I can almost see like the muscles are forming, you know?
I know.
It's like when you go lifting and you're like, oh man, my legs are sore for a few days. It's right. Like my thumb meat is sore.
I know. Yeah. So now like if you come and like meet us on tour or anything, you come up for like a big old fashioned high five, it's kind of like, whoa, those guys' hands are made out of like iron or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, cause I mean, that's all it takes. Is like one weekend of running a chainsaw kind of recreationally.
That's it. That's all you need. But yeah. It's been such a weird like feeling for the rest of the weekend where it's like, it's not like I can't use my thumb or anything, but it's like if I have to like squeeze anything hard, like the other staple gun we had that wasn't the air pump one, that was just like a regular handheld like manual grip it. It's like you have to grip it pretty hard to get the staple to come out, and it was getting to like, I can't pull the stapler.
It's like, it reminds me of like, if you've ever seen like the classic like sports agent in a movie, or like a stockbroker who's kind of like on like the headset phone, it's like leaned back in the chair and it's got like a finger strengthening device or whatever, and they're sitting there being like, yeah man, yeah, call me about that
yeah,
whatever project, mm-hmm. the so-and-so file. Yeah, it's like it, that's what this stapler was like, where it's like you're reaching in like these weird angles or like between fence posts, and it's like pull, 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 pull.
Click. Oh, I missed. Yeah. Couldn't believe how bad it. Oh boy, yeah. Got to improve our staple gun aim. Or it reminded me of rock climbing a lot of times, where like you'd like maybe like your forearms or something would still feel nice and fresh, but your finger strength just wasn't there yet. So you'd like reach for the rock and you'd like put your hand on it and you'd go to pull and your fingers would just be like, but, no, but like hold it, grip it, and you're like, I am gripping as hard as I can.
Yeah. Do you remember when you were a kid? Like, I'm sure that there's a reason behind this, but I feel like you go to the pediatrician and he would like hold up like a thumb or something like that. And he just would ask you to like squeeze as tightly as you could. And I oftentimes felt like if it was like an early morning appointment, like my hands almost had this like tingliness to it. And it was almost like I don't have any grip. Like, why can't I grip it?
Yo.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Was he like writing down like X failed that one?
It's like, this kid is not going to make it as a rock climber.
No finger strength.
None whatsoever. Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. Little did he know.
Look at you go.
We got there in the end.
Climbing rocks.
It's been a while since we've climbed some rocks, but
yeah.
And we'd always come back to it. Like, it's not, the sun hasn't set on that ambition.
Not even at all, dude. Yeah. I mean, our kids are getting closer and closer to just being able to like go in and do it.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so in the end though, I feel like we were able to spend essentially 2 days in the sun. I'm quite sunburnt.
Yeah, know? Are you?
Yeah, a little bit. No. Yeah. I feel like my like lips are like all dried out.
Chapped.
Yeah, but the back of my neck. It's like, and this happens to me every year. And this is another thing that I just fundamentally don't understand. But like, I will get a farmer's tan right at the beginning of the season, which is basically like, you know, I'm out mowing my lawn or I'm doing yard work like we're doing now. Mm-hmm. You have like one of those first like warm days where like you haven't quite acclimated back to like busting out like the sunscreen and stuff like that. So I'll get like an early season tan/burn on like my lower forearms and like my neck and stuff. And then I don't know what I'll do for the rest of the summer. Like, I could go out and work in my yard shirtless every single day and I will still just have like just completely pale torso and very dark arms.
Right.
And it's like, What is happening to me?
I would imagine that like what happens is that your arms just keep getting darker and darker, and by contrast, the rest of you continues to look pale.
Maybe that's exactly what
even
it is.
If the rest of you. But I do know what you mean. It's like, why do my arms get tan, but then when I go out and I'll be on the lake all day shirtless, and I'm like, why am I still a pasty nightmare?
A pasty nightmare.
Yeah.
You're right though.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I'm right there with you. I don't know what to do. Like, I got to the point last summer where I felt like I just wore like a life jacket on the boat at all times because I was like, I don't want to blind anybody.
This is for safety. This is for safety reasons.
Plus, it's a cool looking life jacket.
Cool looking life jacket.
You know, there's mm-hmm. that. So it's like, you know, this is my lake time accessory.
Exactly.
Although that probably then was just further exacerbating the problem because then I was, you know, continuing to get tanner arms and less tan torso.
Right.
This summer I'm doing it.
You're doing it?
I'm going to be golden tan, maybe.
You're just going to commit, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, yeah. So I'm still a little bit crispy.
No. All right. Well, you know. Now, I guess I think I did okay. I did sunscreen up, and I had, of course, my giant hat on.
You did have your giant hat on.
Yeah, which
that was,
you know,
wise. Yeah.
Helpful.
Last night Alice was like, we need to get you a hat. And I was like, yeah,
mm-hmm,
we do need mm-hmm. to get a hat.
Yeah, I know just the brand for you.
Okay. We'll mm-hmm. keep an eye out. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was it.
All right.
Garden update complete.
Next week, we plant.
Transition. Y'all, we need to take a brief pause to let you know that Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Turtle Beach. Imagine this. You're on your couch rocking some single player when a notification appears that the free elf has just logged on. You reach for your crusty old headset only to have the padding dissolve in your hands. You fumble around for a solution, but it's too late. Hexy, and I know it, has killed your little pal, and it's all over. But not anymore. The Stealth 700 doesn't just level up your game, it levels up your entire head. Bluetooth, noise canceling, and the kind of bass that makes explosions feel personal, which they are. So the next time that you're lounging and Dead Weasley logs on, then you know things will be different. You're immersed wirelessly for the freedom to jump from one side of the couch to the other like a freaking parapet. 3D spatial audio has you on top of your game. You duck, roll, mash button combos like there's no tomorrow, and your old pal Fred, Dead Weasley, gets to fight another day. Y'all, the Turtle Beach headset is as cozy as a winter sweater and has the battery life of a... Man, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a good wizarding theme analogy for batteries. So they last 80 hours. So that's cool as heck, right? Head to turtlebeach.com and use code POPCORN for 10% off your entire order. That's 10% off your order at turtlebeach.com with promo code POPCORN. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Get the ultimate immersive gaming experience with Turtle Beach today. Links in the descriptions and show notes down below. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, if I've said it once, I've said it at least 13 times. I have ideas for businesses every day. Here's one of my latest goodies, a restaurant called Tipless. It's like one of those restaurants where the waiters are kind of rude to you, but instead of writing mean things on your hat and being full of zingers, it's an on-purpose bad dining experience. No matter what you order, they will bring you something else. You might have two spoons and no fork, and don't even think about asking for a ranch on the side. They won't forget, they just won't bring it. Anyway, Jay says he passes on that one, but for every 10 bad ideas, occasionally you will find a good one. And when that day comes, you'll want Shopify. Shopify seriously makes it easy, like brings you an extra side of ranch preemptively easy to get started with your new good business idea. We use Shopify for Carlin Bros Mercantile, and my wife and I use it for her business, Nude, and it's because it's the exact right amount of easy you asked for your eggs to be cooked. That's like a like an over easy or like over medium joke, or should I say yolk? That's it. I'm opening a comedy club. Y'all upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, Jay, I am obsessed with this next topic because it's right up my alley.
Okay.
And I also feel like it brings me back to like one of my more favoriter eras of the pop, which I in my head was like in like the 160s, and now we're like in like 279. So it's like 120 episodes ago, we really hit our stride.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
But I feel like we had like a decade of episodes. That's usually how we refer to them. Like where we were talking about things like forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so forgiveness is like one half of the equation, but the other half is the apology itself.
Yes.
And you shared with me this morning something that I believe your therapist shared with you,
yeah,
which is kind of like the 5 love languages, something that I have always also found to be just completely fascinating. And even if all it's doing is giving you like a rough idea of like what your preferences are in terms of like, you know, your relationship with other people, I feel like those guideposts like are still handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think that probably all people sort of value all 5 love languages in one way or another.
In some capacity. Yeah.
It's usually just like you probably value all of them. It's just which ones do you value more than the other ones.
Right.
And so I think that probably also remains true, but you came across something that is like the love languages, but it's apology languages.
Yeah. I mean, it was on the same like website. I mean, it's even on like 5lovelanguages.com.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll be sure to link this down in the description now below.
Yes.
But yeah, it really was interesting. So do you want to elaborate on it or tell us about
sure.
your results or experience with it?
Yeah, I only just took it this morning. morning. But so then the five apology languages, which is like how you want to be apologized to.
Yes.
Basically.
Right.
So that is like how it will help inform. So really it'd be good for you to take it and then to like tell the, you know, your partner or the other people in your life or whatever, how, like what works best. So that if the time comes when, you know, someone, you know, needs to apologize to you for something, they can
someone done screwed up
or so, like, you know, because sometimes it'll feel like you're you know talking to someone and they've got, you know, beef or grievances, and it's like it feels like what you're doing is trying to apologize, but like nothing's like landing, and it's like maybe because you're like the way in which you apologize does not speak to what they're aiming for,
yeah,
or whatever. And it was really interesting taking the quiz. First of all, because the way the quiz is formatted is that it'll be like it's kind of like fill in the blank a little. It's like which of these phrases like is more meaningful to you or whatever,
right?
And then it'll, you know, give you two phrases and you'll, you know, pick whichever one it is. And as I'm like going through it, I'm just like, man, I just don't think people apologize to me that much. Like, you know.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's definitely, I would agree with you. Like, I would say that it does not feel extremely frequent that I'm on the receiving end of just about anything,
yeah,
that was listed. So on some end of the spectrum, probably that's even like the good reminders that, like, you know, we probably could all just be better at apologizing, like when we need to,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And because I do think that, like, it's very easy, especially like when something arises, especially if you feel guilty, to immediately jump to more of like a defensive position where it's like, well, I'm going to explain why I did what I did because there was a reason that got me there,
right?
Like, you know, like this was not an unintentional thing, or I back my decision to have done this, which is also kind of an interesting aspect of like the entire therapeutic conversation is I feel like a lot of times that is like what they're trying to convey to you at times. It's like, you know, stand up for yourself. Like,
right,
you know, it's okay,
right?
Like,
exactly,
you know, you don't need to back down always. But no, that's a good point. Yeah, I think how often do you hear any of these things?
I know. I was like, that was making it really difficult to like know like which of these is more important to me, because I don't feel like I'm like constantly having to like deal with them,
yes,
or anything, which is not like never or anything. But then I was trying to like think back like through time, like what, like, you know, when I'm having like a disagreement with someone, like what actually does make me feel better, or like whether, like, you know, it was weird because like as we started the quiz, I was like, I just don't know, like, these are hard to answer. But then like as we went, like certain like patterns emerged, and I was like, yeah, I don't think it was clear, like, oh, I think I see what they're going for here, because I didn't know what the five languages were going in,
right.
So I didn't have anything to like aim for or anything. I was just trying to answer it, you know, honestly. But it was like, as I was going through, it was like, there was like a variety of questions, some of which would just be like, you know, people sort of like admitting their fault or like owning up to whatever wrongdoing it was. Some of them were very like, you know, what can I do to make it better? How can I, like, you know, make restitution or,
right,
whatever like that. Some of them were very like, you know, like at like specifically like asking for forgiveness, like the other person asking for forgiveness.
Right.
And so, like, let's see. So the ultimate five that it tells you at the end are, the five apology languages are: accept responsibility, expressing regret, request forgiveness, planned change, and make restitution. So, like, I guess we can kind of go through each of them. When you took it, did you have like a top one?
I did okay. Have a top one. Yeah. And so the one that came out the highest for me was planned change. Yes.
Okay.
And I think that, hold on, I want to pull it up because I have my own results here and I want to be able to speak to them accurately, because I had one that was very, very low. So, yeah, so to me, plan change was the highest, and request forgiveness was far and away the lowest.
Okay.
So that is not very, like requesting forgiveness is not a big one for me at all.
Yeah, I mean, that one came in at the middle for me, but I would have thought it was going to come in lower. For me, the biggest one was accept responsibility.
Okay, yes.
Followed by, that was at like 32%, and then like expressing regret was at like 28%.
Okay.
So they were pretty close.
Yeah, so I'm right there with you. So I had, I'll walk through mine real quick. So I have plan change at 32%, expressing regret and accept responsibility at 28% each.
Oh, man. Okay.
Make restitution was at 8, and request forgiveness was at 4. So making restitution and requesting forgiveness are both like not high on my priority
list. Yeah, I would say, yeah, those were not as much either. So, but even as I was going through it, it was like occurring to me. It was interesting, like how it was standing out, like what I would want to hear when other people were like apologizing. And it was interesting, because I felt like I was like learning about myself, because like I'd never really considered it before.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's like you never, because like apologies feel like they're kind of folded into like a general sentiment. Like,
right.
You know, like somebody might be like, well, did they at least apologize?
Right.
And it's like, you would never think to be like, how did they apologize?
Yeah. It's like, well, they asked for forgiveness, and it's like, I don't know if that, yeah.
Like, it's what? Like, it's like, I you know, I'm that doesn't really mean much to me.
To me.
To me personally, I guess.
Right.
And it's even just interesting to know, like, because that's the kind of thing, too, like, especially with a partner, where it's like, if they're apologizing in a way that doesn't really resonate with you, then it probably is not going to leave you exiting whatever situation it is feeling properly heard or validated or whatever.
Right.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So yeah. So like mine, it, like as I was going through, it was like clearly what was standing out to me, or what I was recognizing, was that like more like when someone's apologizing to me, almost definitely, or obviously based on the results, the thing that was most important is just like acknowledging that what you did was wrong, like understanding that, like admitting that you were wrong. Basically.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because, and I think that that's like part of, to be on the, or to be the person who has made the mistake. Like, I think that there is a degree of humility involved in basically acknowledging that you are capable of having made a misstep, but like that is human. Like that is going to happen to all of us. We are all going to have those kinds of missteps.
Right.
But like, that's like the part of like, I think a lot of our programming, or, you know, like a lot of what you see out in the world, is that defensiveness. Like, and I think when the defensiveness comes out, that's when it kind of feels like somebody feels called out for having made a mistake. And then they like double down on why they did it in the first place.
Right.
And that's when I feel like the chasm divides very rapidly.
Right.
Like that's when things go in the wrong direction. So it's like, at the very least, if you can just be like, I messed up, like that was not good. You
know, I know
that was a mistake, or, you know, whatever. It's like, okay, it's a good starting point. Like, you know, we can be on the same page about that.
I know. I feel like it almost like it makes sense. I mean, of course my results make sense to me because it's me, but like it makes sense to me that like accept responsibility is at high, and then like make restitution would be like so low. Like I would be interested if someone was like, that, like make restitution and accept responsibility were like both very high or something, which I guess maybe I could see that happening. But like, to me, it's like, it's so much more like I'm not really looking for any kind of like restitution or payback or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it's just like the acknowledgement. Like, I just want to like say, you know, that I'm sorry. And then like that's almost all I really need most of the time.
Well, so
it's to like feel like we're like on the same page.
Yes. And I felt like that was exactly how I felt as well. Like, if you were to think about a situation, I think of like zero as being the bottom, not negative numbers. So to me, and let me try to explain that, like, to me, the situation might be such that like making restitution to me almost suggests that you went beyond zero and need to be brought back to zero in order to like continue growth going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, like, zero is just like the bottom. It's like, if you messed up, it's like, let's build off of zero and go forward back up to like good, positive, like high numbers. But like, we're not going below zero. Like that to me is, I felt like, where, yeah, like making restitution felt like it, like its particular shortcoming, in my opinion.
It feels like, I think to me, like making restitution feels like I can see where if you're the person who did wrong, like feeling like you want to like prove it back, like to like earn the trust back or something.
Sure.
And like, but like on the flip end of it, it feels like if you're the person who's then on the receiving end of it, it feels like punishment or something.
Right.
Like you are like forcing them like I don't know. This is I feel like we're like wading into such deep waters all of a sudden.
No, I know. But, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. It's a deep conversation. It's an important
kind of
thing.
Is. Yeah. I know. But like, so I don't know. To me, like in general, it's like I don't feel like I think almost like by definition, like forgiveness is not deserved, which is like why like but which is then why it's such like such a gift, such a good thing to do. Because it's like that person was wrong. It's like you don't like they're wrong. They were wrong. You were right. Boom. You don't have to forgive them, but you do anyway.
Okay.
Because it is like saying like you like that doesn't matter. Like it is more important to me to be like, you know, like have a good relationship with you than to like lord this over you or something, than to have been right about the situation. But if it's like, well, I'll forgive you, but if you do this, then it's like, well, then you're punishing them. And then it's like you're like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like that's like this. That doesn't feel like it's the same thing. Which is then I think also why like the asking for or the request forgiveness side of this one didn't like resonate as much with me, because it's sort of like if I feel like I'm wrong and you're requesting forgiveness, like when I read the description, like it made sense. But it's like if you're like requesting it like that, that's part of like, you know, their journey as well. Like that's them saying, I messed. It is a way to say like, I messed up. Can you forgive me? Kind of thing. But it's like, I don't know. Like to me, it almost feels like they're like continuing to like make it about themselves.
It feels like the impetus is being placed back on you, the person being apologized.
Yes,
like
yes.
You now have the responsibility, and maybe the way that you phrased it, like forgiveness is not something like that is freely given necessarily. So it's like for them to like ask for it, it's like you are now taking away my ability to provide it to you.
Yeah.
As like a positive experience that like I can provide the forgiveness, but you asking for it is almost like shortcutting to like the end of the conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like suddenly it's like you wronged me, but now I owe you forgiveness.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't, that, I think that like, I mean, and that's not how everyone will interpret it. And if you're, I mean, and if a lot of, and like, that's only, but this is, I think, why this is helpful, because I think to me, that's how it comes across.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah. like if the, on the other hand, if someone is asking for it, it is their own way of saying I messed up and I want to be like on good terms with you again.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know that makes, I don't know. Does that feel like that makes sense?
I think it makes sense.
Okay.
In no way does it sound to me like I think what you're trying to suggest out to the world either, that what would work best for you is what should work best for everyone else. I think that you were just simply explaining your perspective, which is probably very helpful for anybody,
right,
you know, continuing to tune in. So yeah, it doesn't sound like you're like, no, this is stupid. Nobody should ever apologize this way.
Yeah. That is, yes, you're right. That's what I'm trying to make sure.
Right.
But then yours, you had plan change as the top one.
I had plan change as the top one. Yeah.
Right.
So I think, I think to me, like the thing that I was struggling with the most, like it was even that sentiment of either asking for forgiveness. I felt like placed the impetus back on the person being apologized to, or back on me to then grant the forgiveness. And then the other was that I really, really disliked was the frequency that it would ask a question of like, what can I do to make this better? And it's like, now you are asking me to come up with what is the appropriate, reasonable reaction in order to make things okay. And to me, that immediately felt like a negotiation.
Yes, that is exactly how it was. I was like receiving that as well.
Because like, yeah, it's like at that point in time, it's like, well, how much can I ask for? How much is too much? Like what's appropriate? And it's like, I don't want that to be a part of how this is going. You know, it's like that feels like an uncomfortable situation as well. And it's like, to me, what I would want in any situation where an apology is involved is for just learning and growth to have happened.
That, yeah, I think I was kind of on that page too. It's like, because like I remember, like, I think one of the questions was like, or one of the responses you could give to one of the questions was like, what can I do to make this better right now or whatever. And it was just like, it doesn't like again, you're right, it puts the onus back on you to determine what is an appropriate level of like whatever restitution or whatever,
right?
But then it's also just like, what what it feels like to me is like, what specific actions can I do that will make you feel like we're good again? And it's like, I don't care what you do. I want you to understand what the problem was.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And it's like, and to me, I think that typically involves a large amount of like, it's like thought, it's introspection, and it's trying to see the world through somebody else's eyes a little bit, like trying to like understand the perspective better, because more often than not, like I say this all the time about like anything that is broadly liked by massive groups of people, whether it's like, you know, sports or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, it's like those people are all not wrong. You know, it's like you may not understand what other people love about it, but I suspect that if you came to understand it, you would also come to realize like, wow, this is really cool. There's an obvious reason why so many people love this thing. And I feel that way when it comes to emotional reactions about things. Like, so it's kind of like, if you are truly willing to put yourself into my seat and try to imagine things from my perspective, or imagine like what it would have looked like, you know, if similar circumstances had happened in reverse, it's like, I want it to feel like my reaction is an acceptable reaction. And chances are, like, if the shoe was on the other foot, that there's a decent chance that you would also feel the same way. Like, it's not unusual that it's hurting me, I guess, on some level. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think like, oftentimes, I think it's, you know, as ever, it's like the people who you are closest to are the people who can, like, you know, hurt you the most or whatever.
Right.
You know, and I think like when stuff like when you feel like you are like, you know, need an apology or something, it is the case. Like, what's upsetting me the most, more than anything, is that like we know each other so well, and like you failed to realize this about me. It like just makes me feel like the feeling that like you are like not seen or not understood by the people in your life is the thing that is usually the most upsetting to me.
Right. Right. It's like, how could you know me so well and not know that this could be burdensome to my emotional state?
Right. Like, how could you be sitting right over there and not realize the problem I'm having right over here?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So I was thinking a little bit about as well, like, you know, making restitution as a piece of, like, response. And part of what came to mind, because you were just talking about how, like, well the people know you in life, but then there's, like, you know, the situation where you might be, like, at a restaurant and it's much more, like, superficial, and, like, maybe something went wrong with the service, or you're wait was like exceptionally like long or whatever. And this idea of like, what can I do to make it right? Like, even just think about it in that simple of a situation where, like, if like the waiter were to come over, the manager or whatever comes over and is talking to your table, it's like, what can I do to make it right? Like, we want to make sure you guys had a good experience. Like then it puts you in this incredibly uncomfortable position of being like, could we maybe get like a free dessert? You know,
like, I know,
like, you know, yeah. it's like, don't make me ask what is acceptable, because like on some level, like depending on the circumstances, it could be like, you know, our meal should probably be comped. You know, like there was a wrench inside of my steak. Like, this was a bad problem.
Right.
You know, like we should probably not be charged for that thing.
Right.
But then like, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, it's all like such shades of like, you know, meaning or whatever. So it's like, I would almost prefer it in every situation where it's like, you know, how about everybody get a free drink or something like that? Like, you know, the person suggests it to you and it's like, okay, cool.
Right. If you know? Like that is such a difference, like coming out and saying like not what can I do to make this right, but like, here's how I'm going to make it right.
Here's how I'm
going
to make it right. Yes. Right. Like, you know, we have heard you. We recognize it. Here is what we've got.
But like, even in that, I think like that, like, you know, as I'm filling this out, like it is more from a place of like, in terms of people I know, like the best,
100%.
Because you're right. Like, like if it's like the less you know them, or like, you know, if it's like a restaurant staff and the waiter, you know, the waiter comes out and they've made a big mistake and they're like, what can we do to make it right? It's just like, yes, maybe all I do need then is just some restitution.
Yes.
You know, it's just like
that might solve this very quickly.
Right. You're like, just bring me a new plate and, you know, like, that we're good. You know, or just, you know, I really don't want to pay for this. It was raw. Like, can I get a new steak? What I don't know,
right?
Like, not that I, but which is like, I just never said food back. Like,
you know, I was going to say, I know this is like one of those.
This is such
just,
a thing.
Yeah. Like chances are, it's like if I've had a negative experience at the restaurant, the way in which I get my you know, massive air quotes here, payback is I probably just won't go back.
I just won't go back.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like I don't need to go and leave some type of like horrible negative review or complain to a manager or anything. It's just sort of like, maybe I don't like this restaurant. You know? And it's like, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah. So next time I'm choosing where to go, it's like, I didn't like that place, so I'll choose somewhere else.
Not going back there. Yeah. So boom. Yeah. But then I'm like, even if it was like coworkers or something, it'd probably be like a little bit different.
Sure.
Well.
Yeah.
I think then like plan change probably jumps up my charts a lot more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see, what else do we have in here? My next two highest ones were expressing regret and accepting responsibility. Have we talked about expressing regret?
I do not think we have.
Okay. So, expressing regret to me, I feel like is like the big piece of evidence that comes with like the understanding of the impact of the situation.
Right.
So like, I think a lot of times like things that need to be apologized for can often be things that happened more inside of like the moment, or like where the person wasn't quite so in a position to like consider all of the potential circumstances. And this is much more like having paused, slowed down, calmed down, and taken the time to be like, oh yeah, no, that I see. Yep. That was probably not good.
Right.
Like, you know, like that when I said it, I wasn't thinking about the fact that this would have this effect on you.
And right.
Now that I realize that must have been.
Right. That makes sense. And I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So I think that, that's obviously a super high one for me. And I think, you know, more than anything, it's that to me, I think almost is, I see it as like a step to whatever the planned change would ultimately end up being, like understanding, comprehending and feeling the emotion that is associated with expressing regret to me, I think is the brain signal to look for a way to change something. Like
right.
It's a way to, like, for the individual themselves to just be growing as an individual. It's like, okay, yes, this is a negative feeling that I'm experiencing because I made somebody else feel bad. And now I'm able to take that information and do things with it to step forward. And that's the hope, is that, like, you know, when you have an issue, you don't want to keep having the same issue.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I think that's like where, again, it kind of comes back to plan change. It's like you want to feel like whatever is going to happen, it's like, okay, like this has happened, but now like this is not going to be like an issue for us going forward.
Right.
Because we've sorted this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree. I think it's like the empathy recognition.
Right.
Yeah. And then I don't think we really talked about plan change either. I mean, it's kind of what it sounds like. It's like, I'm sorry, here's what I'm going to do in the future.
Right.
To avoid this kind of thing again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And to me, that all just comes down, like, that to me is like the personal growth. Like, I mean, you know, we talked a little bit in growth to me, I think, is probably like one of the things that I am always seeking out, like as an individual. Like I think that like at times I can introspect to a point that can drive the people like closest to me crazy. And I think what I'm trying to do is like, maybe even like too frequently at times, but like go through and comb through like where I could have been better as a person and just try to like, you know, learn and grow all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that like more than anything, it's like, that's just what I want to see for the people in my life as well. Is that not only, you know, are they capable of it, but they also want to be growing with me. Like, I think that's the kind of thing that's sort of like, okay, we're like, you know, we're in this together. Like 10 years from now, we will both be better people than we are now, because we'll have made more mistakes and learned from those mistakes and gotten better. And, you know, that will continue. And then as we continue to be better people, we'll be better people to the people around us. And hopefully that will make those people better people. And, you know, it's like, I think that's like what I'm always hoping is happening. Like,
right.
That's like what I value in the people closest to me, is that they want this too.
Right. The, yeah. that they are trying to like hopefully like learn from it and provide like have a better relationship with you in the future.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, like the longer that we've known each other, we should only have, I mean, not that there won't be setbacks. That's the whole point of this conversation. But like we over time should be trending in like an upward way. Like our relationship should always be continuing to grow as time goes on.
Right.
And I feel like that's the ideal, you know, the ideal scenario for the people who you are going to hold closest to you. Like, you know, that you are able to grow together as people and become better people together. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Positive impact outward.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, apologies.
Apologies.
Powerful.
I know. Kind of a deep topic.
Yeah, a little bit.
I just looked down at the clock and I'm like, wow, we talked about this longer than I expected.
Well.
But that's also...
Well, we talked about the fence for a long time too.
We did, you know? Yeah.
Good fence.
Yeah, we got like one little thing left in us here.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do a transition. Woo!
All right, Ben. So my wife was out at dinner last Friday evening.
Nice.
With some girlfriends.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes, nice. And they were discussing personal style and such.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, and one of the women said like, the way she had like started or some like advice she had received to like help guide her purchasing decisions were to try and like choose three words that you define as like your personal style and then like let that guide you moving forward so that you're not just sort of like, you know, flying off on some, you know, new trend. You're trying to keep up with literally everything, or, you know, like you're focused and your whole wardrobe then can like slowly start being curated around less of like a widespread, fully like modern, up-to-date, trendy, like kind of style, which could be all over the place.
Right.
And
right.
just be like, you know, you can stay in the trends, but keep it like, These are the lanes that you're in. And it's like, it was a really interesting, I thought it was like a pretty interesting thought experiment because like I do know people and it's like when I'm like out at a store and I see like a jacket or something, I'd be like, this is so Chelsea, you know, like this, she would buy this. I know for sure. This is exactly her style, you know, it's like, or that, you know, that's them. I can tell like, I recognize this person's style in this clothing. This is the kind of clothes they wear, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's like some people I think are very good at curating. Like they're like, they always look different, but they always have like, they have a very specific, like I don't want to say the word vibe, but vibe.
Right. Right. No, yeah. I know it is. It's interesting because like, you know, the word trendy, like, you know, like, oh, this person's like really trendy. It's like by the very definition of the trend, it means that they are like up to date with whatever current trend is out there. So like on some level, somebody who's very trendy is actually more of like a chameleon. Like they are constantly adapting to the ever-changing environment, which is, you know, certainly like a perfectly acceptable tactic in terms of how you go about creating your own sense of personal style. You know, it's like your style could be that you are trendy. And therefore it's like 10 years from now, you might look radically different from how you do right now because the trends will have changed and you will be adapting to those trends.
Right.
But then even having like your own distinct sense of style, I think is like what you can really grow and develop and like kind of then, you know, be like, it kind of comes with like its own layer of uniqueness somehow, some way, because like you've chosen things that like that you value, and even if you are continuing to like live within the trends, you're still doing it in a way that is reflective back of your own persona.
Exactly.
If that makes sense. Like, and I hope that this is not too sweeping because that's genuinely not my intent. It's just an example that I can think of. But like one of the things that I oftentimes felt like in college, or not in college, in high school rather, was that there was like the sort of blacked out aesthetic of like the, like I think of like safety pins, patches, like the black jeans, the black boots.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's like a chain involved in some mm-hmm. version of like this particular aesthetic. And the thing that I always thought was really interesting about that is that like sometimes like if you see like the family photo and there's like the one person who does like the like does this aesthetic, they might stand out relative to the family, but they all look relatively similar to each other. So there's almost like a style guide to this particular look.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Like I think
like the Hot Topic.
Yeah, like the Hot Topic. I think it would have been like, you know, emo, punk, grunge, you know.
Yes. Kind of. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like that sort of parentheses, if you will.
And but I'm you're sure right.
Anybody who adapted any of those were like, those are three distinct styles.
I know. But, I don't know. I think there's like an episode of South Park where they're talking about like I think some of the kids are like dressing like goth or something.
Okay.
Which I'm sure South Park is not something on it. It doesn't really matter. The point is that, like, I know a common criticism of, like, that particular style because it is, like, so, like, bold in what it is.
Yes.
Is that, like, you know, the people doing it will say, like, they don't want to, like, conform and that's why they're dressing this way. And it's like, you don't want to conform, but you're all doing it in the exact same way. And it's like, that's a stupid thing to say, I think. It's just like, just a style.
It's just a style. And also it's like community, you know, it's like in so many different ways, it's like you're still, you know, unique from probably the people sitting on either side of you in the classroom. You know,
yeah.
It's like there's the, yeah. So it all fits in the way that it fits. But I do think that there's something really fascinating about this idea of kind of like narrowing in on these three words, you know, like what would, because like you asked me while we were doing like yard work, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I don't know that I've ever like properly given this like due thought before. And I was really excited that you asked me because I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like, this is like fun. It's something for me to like think about now. Because I tend to think of like the way that I dress is like, I was trying to think of my words and part of me almost thinks like the word utilitarian came to mind rather quickly, but not necessarily in like the like go and pound the earth utilitarian, or like this can withstand, you know, scrapes and cuts and in wilderness and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, more like highly adaptable to lots of different things. So like I've always been like a fan of like I've got like my leather Nikes. I've got like, you know, I've had like varying styles of like leather boots or leather sneakers. And it's like, because in my mind, I feel like a brown leather shoe pretty much goes with like everything.
Right.
So it's like, I might try to find very cool versions of what that might be, but like then I can use it a lot.
Right.
You know, so then I'm trying to find something that's like special within this like otherwise very generic column. Like if you were to draw, you know, for like a textbook, like generic man, chances are you're going to put him in like blue jeans, brown shoes and a white shirt or something,
right?
You know, and it's like that's generic man,
right?
You know, like in a lot of ways I'm like, that's kind of how I dress, like is like a like generic but with flair.
Flair-neric.
Gen
Flair-eric. There it is.
Gen Flair-eric. Yeah. So I think that would probably be the first word that came to mind was some measure of utilitarian. I think there's a timeless that I would grasp on.
Mm-hmm.
So like even if I'm like trying to do something trendy, I'm still trying to do it in a way that like will hopefully stick. Or like I think a lot of times I get like way too paranoid about like the, you know, we keep talking about like the 10 years from now thing, 10 years from now, being able to like look back and not be like, what was that?
Right.
You know, like too much. So like, you know, I think a lot of times I wear like very,
I mean, right now you're wearing just like a blue button down,
a blue button down.
Yeah.
And kind of
that looked good in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And now, you
yes,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A blue button down, jeans and brown boots.
Yeah.
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 I have ping pong socks on.
There you go. That's
that,
fun.
If that counts for anything.
There you go.
Yeah. And then probably, can I use like a color? Like,
I don't see why not.
Like earthy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earth.
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 Earth tones.
Earth like tones.
I'm probably going to migrate away from like quite so much like vibrancy.
Mm-hmm.
in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, then I was talking to you though. It's like funny, like when I go to like, there's like one-off things. Like I feel like I have like some jackets, like I've got like my sequin jacket, right, or like a very floral jacket or bright pink jacket that like I've wore for like, you know, special events and stuff. Or similarly when I went to like a music festival, I wore like a zebra stripe, sleeveless,
like holographic
top, holographic hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, and it was really fun because I was like in Vegas and I had people walking up to me being like, whoa, like Vegas. And it's like, yeah, exactly.
I did it.
I'm wearing the uniform for being here.
Woo.
Yeah, so that was that, you know, that was sort of, you know, so I feel like on like special occasions, it's like I might be willing to like branch out and go like a little more, you know, hashtag radical. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. How about you? Cool.
Well, okay. So I've been trying to think about it too. So like, cause Beth like had initially brought it up and I was curious like what she thought for me. And then when I asked you, I was telling you what she had said, and like one of her words was like whimsical.
Yep.
And then you were like, I was thinking whimsical for you too. And I'm like, well, who am I to disagree with you two? So I guess whimsical
is
one of them.
I do think there's a degree of whimsy.
Yeah, which I think is pretty accurate. I mean, the mustache goes right in there with like the whimsy,
right,
and everything. Kind of falls into like my present philosophy of just like make a bold decision. I think even like bold might be a word I would go for.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I don't know if that's like too much the same, but just like a little bit like louder or bright, or like a lot of my clothing is like very colorful.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. I don't know. That'd be two of them. That makes me sound like I dress like outlandishly, like bold, whimsical, which for the most part, I don't think I do too much.
Well,
but there's like I like to have like a little bit of flair in my clothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like as opposite as it may sound, I feel like you could probably round off with like classic,
right?
You know, and it's sort of like, it's like, okay, so within the realm of wearing fairly like I would be shocked if you ever came in wearing like parachute pants or something,
yeah,
like that. You know, like something, yeah, like. You know, or if you came in like rocking like bell bottoms or something, like it's not something I would have expected.
Yeah. Like, so it's like shock value is not what I'm going for.
Right. Really. Right. Yeah. You know, so I think it's funny like how those kinds of things, like it's like, yeah, you're going for bold, you're going for whimsical, but like all again, sort of like still within these like parameters,
right?
And that might be like where me and you are, being brothers, having similar upbringings, growing up in the same area.
Yeah, yeah, like, so here, maybe a good example is we just went to like when we were in New York, I got this like new sweater that has like a big pattern of like a sunset on the back, and like you would wear it like open,
right?
I think I've worn it on the pot maybe last week, I don't know. But like if you were just looking for like, you know, like a big open sweater, like I think that's probably a pretty classic look.
Sure.
But this one in particular has like a, you know, a unique pattern on it.
Right.
As well, which I think makes it like pop out and stand out amongst a regular like sweater you might wear.
That's exactly, yeah, it. Yeah. Like if you were to wear that sweater and it was like charcoal gray, like nobody would be like, wow, bold choice,
right?
But like given the pattern, it's sort of like, okay, like same exact cut as the charcoal sweater, but now it's like,
right,
okay, now it's whimsy, now it's fun.
It's a little bit, it's like it's a take notice,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah. No, I can totally see it. So I feel like this is just like a good like personal challenge. Yeah, so we have so many questions today. It's like, what's your apology style?
Yep.
Where do you land on different types of fencing for backyard gardens?
Exactly.
And also, what are the three words that define your style?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let us know.
Yeah, you can email us all your feedback to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you would like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Link to all that in the description down below, along with the quiz that you can take to discover your apology type. We'll put that down there in the show notes for today's episode. So be sure to check us out. Let us know. Give us any feedback you have. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.